I'll go ahead and give you I want to issue a disclaimer for this message tonight. We are going to read a lot of text. We're going to read the whole 39th chapter of Genesis, so if you want to go ahead and find yourselves there, you can. And I usually preach, if I have an outline, and I usually preach three or four points. I'm typically a three-point preacher, if that's what you'd want to call it, but I have 11 points tonight. I promise you I will not keep you as long as you would think. And part of my disclaimer is this. The last 4 points of our message are the same as the first 4 points. Now you're probably thinking this doesn't make a whole lot of sense and this is going to be a train wreck tonight. Well, I sure hope not. But I do want to show you some things out of Genesis chapter number 39 the Lord's used to help me and that the Lord has used to convict me. When you get there, say amen. Mentioned this morning, we're going to be looking a little bit at the life of Joseph, and primarily tonight I'd like to look at Joseph's character. I'd like to look at what kind of man Joseph was. Joseph is one of the few people in the Bible where not one negative thing is mentioned about him. And if you study the life of Joseph, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more accurate and a more beautifully depicted type of Christ in the entire Old Testament than this man we find, Joseph. Joseph was the 11th born to Jacob, who will be named Israel, and he was the second youngest, Benjamin being the youngest. And Joseph had some troubles early on with his brethren, and we would read in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis how that Jacob favored Joseph very much, and that he loved him, and that he made him a coat of many collars. Many of us have heard this as children in Sunday school or in junior church lessons, and he made him this beautiful coat of many collars, and his brothers were jealous of him, and the Lord gave Joseph visions in his dreams, and he told his brothers of these visions, and he told his parents of these visions in his dreams. And the Bible says that his father had respect unto these visions. He had respect unto these dreams, but his brothers didn't. And his brothers envied him, and his brothers hated him, and his brothers were very jealous, and they despised him. In the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, it gives us account where the Bible says that his brothers went out into the fields of Shechem to feed the flocks and to take care of the herds, and Jacob sent Joseph out to be with them. And as they see Joseph approaching, Joseph has to do a little bit of looking to find him. And when he does, they see him approaching, and they say, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." And they make this plan. They conceive this idea of how they will kill Joseph. And one of the brothers, I can't remember which one it is right off of hand, he petitions before him. And he says, "Let's not kill him." He said, "Let's just take him captive. Let's hide him. Let's do something else. Let's not kill him." So they dig a great pit, and they push him down into that pit. And soon to come by are the Ishmaelites down from around the land of Moab and the land of Egypt. And they come up there, and his brothers sell him into the hands of the Ishmaelites. And they devise this plan or this lie to tell Jacob about his death. And they strip from him his coat of many collars, and they kill a kid of the goats, and they take the blood and they put it all over the coat, and they tatter it, and they bring it back to Jacob. And Jacob is so torn, and his heart is so wrenched, and he says, "Surely an evil beast hath rent him into pieces." And what he doesn't know is that evil beast was envy. What that evil beast was wickedness and contention in the hearts of his brothers. And so we find Joseph, and he's sold into the hands of the Ishmaelites to be a slave, and he's carried away into this foreign land. And here is where we pick up in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we find our narrative here. And we are going to read the entire chapter, and I'd like to look a little bit at character in captivity. Character in captivity. I'd like to look at Joseph's character. And the Bible says in Genesis in chapter number 39, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house over all the land, that the Lord had blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not and he knew aught, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in all the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me. But because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, she was fled forth. And she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard of the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper and of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there was he the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Now, I mentioned just a moment ago, there's 11 things I'd like to point out about the scripture that we've read here tonight, and I promise you I won't keep you very long, and the last four points are the same as the first four points. And what I'd like to do, and maybe you picked up on it while we were reading in the text here, but I'd like to take some truths that we find in the beginning of the chapter, and I'd like to bring them full circle to the end of the chapter, and I'd like to look at some different things in the middle that make all the difference between what we find in the beginning of the chapter and in the end of the chapter. And I want to preach on character in captivity. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the morning service. Thank you for the blessing of being a part of this church. Lord, thank you for Brother Jeremy's devotion. And God, I pray that those truths might continue to resonate in our hearts and our minds. Let us meditate on them, Lord, as we would look at these truths here in Genesis 29. And Lord, I pray that you might send a most Holy Spirit of conviction upon us, Lord, that we might see the things in our life that we could change, that we could better suit and serve you, Father, Lord, with this life that you've given us. And Lord, help us to realize that you are worthy of all our service, Lord, and that you are worthy of us expressing the utmost character to you day by day, no matter what our condition is. And Lord, help us to look to the example of Joseph tonight, Lord, that we might see these things, that we might apply them to our lives, that we might give you the honor and glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we read a lot of text. We read a lot of scripture here, but there's a lot to be said about this man Joseph and about his life. And I believe that perhaps the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis is my favorite chapter concerning the life of Joseph. And we mentioned how that the message of this sermon would come full circle towards the end of it, how we would look at some of the same truths that are expressed in the latter part of the chapter as in the first, but that's also to be seen in the entire story of the life of Joseph, how that later Joseph will be promoted, and he'll be promoted over all of Egypt, and his brothers, as it was expressed in the dream before, will have to bow, and they will have to make obeisance, and he will reconcile himself to his father, and he'll give them the grain during the famine and all these things. But I believe that the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis sets the stage for everything we will learn and everything we will know about Joseph. And I believe that what God has done with this chapter primarily is he's taken a spotlight and he's shown it upon the life of Joseph. He's pulled away the curtain and he's allowed for us to see into the private life of Joseph, and he's allowed us to see these things regarding this man of utmost character. And the first thing that I want you to notice about Joseph's life is the persecution in Joseph's life. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. Joseph was a good fella. Joseph was a good boy. Joseph was favored by his father. His father loved him. He was obedient. All that he did was tell them about the dreams that God gave him. All that he did was try and communicate the truths that God had given him to his family. And because of that, he was hated. Some of you might have been in that position a time or two where you've upset friends. You might have even upset co-workers. You've upset your own family by trying to live for God, by trying to do what God wants. Paul would tell Timothy, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There is no exception. Either you have faced persecution, or you are facing persecution, or you will face persecution. If you are not in or around any persecution, you might be doing something wrong. Amen. He said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so in the beginning of the narrative, in the beginning of our chapter here, we find that Joseph is sold into the hands of wicked, unbelieving Ishmaelites as a slave to serve these people. And the only thing that he's done to get himself there was be obedient to God. As far as we know, Joseph hasn't done anything wrong. Joseph hasn't messed up. He was just hated by his brethren for being who he was and being where he was supposed to be. We see the persecution in his life. See, a lot of Christians, they come to a place of persecution in their life and they want to think that they've done something wrong. They want to think that it's chastisement or that it's judgment. And oftentimes what we fail to realize is that before God will bless a man, he will break a man. Before God will bless someone, he will have to break them. We look at Joseph's own father, Jacob, at Peniel. What happened? He wrestled with God, and God touched the hollow of his thigh and put it out of joint. It caused him so much pain, it caused him so much anguish and so much grief that he latched on to God and said, "I won't let go unless you bless me." Sometimes what we need to grab a hold of God and to get a hold of God is to be broken. Sometimes what we need is to be brought to a place of separation. We need to be brought to a place where we are under this persecution so that we can cling to God. We see the persecution in Joseph's life. Not only do we see the persecution in Joseph's life, but hallelujah, we see the presence in Joseph's life. In verse number 2, the Bible says this, "And the Lord was with Joseph." And the Lord was with Joseph. Thank God for all those times I can look back on my life and I can say, thank God he was with me. He was right there beside me along the whole way. He was right there by my side. Amen. We see the presence of God in Joseph's life. We see that Joseph was a man that walked with God. Joseph was a man that was devoted to God. Joseph was a man that had his mind made up. It didn't matter that he was in the presence, he was in captivity with the Ishmaelites, that he was under persecution. He made his mind up. He says, "Hey, I'm sticking with God." We see the presence in Joseph's life. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Not only do we see the persecution and the presence in Joseph's life, but I see a peculiarity about Joseph's life. What I mean by that is in verse number 3, the Bible says this, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Now, you might not need me to tell you here this evening, but just to give you a little bit of context, Joseph's master was probably not a Jewish man. As a matter of fact, Joseph's master probably hated the Jewish people. Joseph's master was a man of He was an Egyptian man. He was a man of degree. He was Potiphar. He was an officer among the chiefest of the officers of Pharaoh. And here we have this man, this high-ranking official, this Potiphar, and he's given this house and he's given this rule and he's given this responsibility from Pharaoh, and they hire this Jewish servant. But there was something different about Joseph. There was something so peculiar about the life of Joseph that Potiphar, the Egyptian, the Jewish hating man, said, there's something different about him. There's something different about him. And in turn, I imagine that Potiphar might have softened his heart towards those people a little bit. I said, man, there's something different about him. He's the only Jewish person I've ever met. There's got to be something different about his God. And he's got all this prosperity. He's got all this blessing. And it seems like everywhere he goes, his path's made before him. And he's taking care of all these things. Brother Jeremy was talking about in a secular work environment. I've been there. I know. I've been there before. Oftentimes, you're going to be looked at like, what is going on here? But they know there's something different about it. Amen. There's a peculiarity to be mentioned here in the life of Joseph. It says, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. Think about that for just a minute. Amen. There was something so different about Joseph. There was something so peculiar, so distinct about Joseph that the Potiphar took notice. And that's capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your Bible. That's Jehovah God. Potiphar stepped back and said, hey, there's something to this. I imagine he's with the other officials and he's with the other chiefs and they talk about their slaves and they talk about their servants and they talk about their riches and they talk about their wealth. And they say, what about that Hebrew boy? And they say, he says, there's something different about him. He said, I'm telling you, there's something more to that. God is with him. There's a peculiarity in Joseph's life that made him stand out. There was a prosperity in Joseph's life that God brought forth. In verses number 4 through 6, we see this prosperity. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he hath put into his hand. And it came to pass from time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Think about this now. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Joseph must have been making some kind of a difference where he was. And you know, Joseph had every reason to be bitter. Joseph had every reason to be lazy. Joseph had every reason to just lay down and quit. His family, his brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. He's down here with the Egyptians. Nobody cares about him or his God. But he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remain a man of character. I'm going to stay faithful to God. And for Joseph's sake, the house of the Egyptian master, the house of Potiphar, was blessed. And the Bible says, blessed for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? That doesn't sound like too bad a deal, truthfully. God's blessing you. You're well favored. You have lots of influence. You got bread. You got raiment. You got everything you need taken care of. God took Joseph's situation and made the best out of it for him because he was faithful. Christian, you don't have to live in defeat. I don't know what kind of outside circumstances, I don't know what kind of things are plaguing your life or dictating your life, but you do not have to live down and in defeat. God can give you a victorious life no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what kind of captivity you might feel that it is, whether it's crippling debt, whether your family doesn't want anything to do with you, whether you don't enjoy your job and you dread going to work every day, whatever it might be, whatever circumstance it is that the devil tries to put all that force behind, he tries to use all that force and put it in your head and make you to think, you know, this is awful, this is terrible, I can't serve God living like this, I can't have any kind of character living this kind of life, there's no way God can be pleased with me. That's not what Joseph said. Joseph said, I've been enslaved to the Ishmaelites, sold me to the Egyptians, this bunch of wicked bunch, and now I'm in this house. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep my faith. I'm going to do what God's told me to do. I'm going to hold fast to that character. And what happened? God brought prosperity on behalf of Joseph. We see the prosperity in Joseph's life. We see the purity in Joseph's life. This goes back to a little bit of what Brother Jeremy was saying. In verse number 7, the Bible says this, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in all the house. And he was speaking of this character, and he was speaking of this pure sense of character that Joseph had, that he was not going to sin against God, that he was not going to undermine Potiphar, that he realized the position of authority that he had, and he was not going to abuse that, even though nobody would have known. Nobody would have known about it. He could have got away with it. Joseph's still a young man. He's never wed. He's never had a wife before, and he could have got away with all that, but he chose not to. You know what character is? Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Amen. My football coach used to say, character is who you are in the dark, when nobody can see you, when you can get away with it. Amen. And there's never been one person to get away with sin. I understand that. But when the person you go to church with, when the preacher, when the person sitting next to you isn't going to know about it, it's how you behave. That's where the purity comes from.
Amen.
We see the purity in Joseph's life. And I believe that we see that purity because of the preeminence in Joseph's life. In verse number 9 it says this, "There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me. Because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph had been brought by God into a place of prosperity. He had been brought by God into a place of promotion. He'd been brought by God to a place where he was taken care of, where he was in Potiphar's house. He had rule. There was no reason for Potiphar to doubt him, but that's not what was on Joseph's mind. Joseph wasn't thinking, I could get cast into prison. Joseph wasn't thinking, well, Potiphar could demote me and he could take me down and he could put me in the fields and he could have me out feeding the swine and taking care of the cattle, or he could take all this food from me. He could start rationing my food. He could take this nice raiment that he's blessed me with. He could stop letting me go play golf on the weekends. Whatever it might have been, all the pampering things, whatever it was that Potiphar had for Joseph, that's not what was on his mind.
Amen.
He said, no, God deserves better.
Amen.
God deserves better. Don't live holy lives. Don't live pure lives because it's what the preacher says to do. Do it because it's what God wants for you to do. It's what God desires for you to do, and it's what pleases Him. Joseph had a purity about his life, and he had a purity about his character, and there was a preeminence in his life in the midst of all this blessing, in the midst of all this prosperity that Joseph had. He still kept God number one. You know, Brother Jeremy, just like you mentioned a minute ago with the idols, it could have been real easy for Joseph to put idols in his life. As a matter of fact, I believe it would have been more convenient for Joseph to put idols in his life. If Joseph would have said, you know, I'm doing pretty good. All these guys like me. All these guys trust me. I keep getting promotion after promotion and blessing after blessing. I think I'll just start worshiping their gods. I think I'll just start going to their church. I think I'll just start doing these things and believing these things. And it might have got him more promotions. It might have got him a little bit farther. It might have got him even more favor in Potiphar's house. But Joseph kept the main thing the main thing. And he said, no, I'm not going to do this. And it has nothing to do with you. And it has nothing to do with Potiphar. And it has everything to do with the fact that God expects better of me. There was a preeminence in Joseph's life. There was a persistence in Joseph's life. I want you to see this in verse number 10. Look at this with me. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph, day by day." Think about that. "That he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." This wasn't just a one-time thing, and God blessed Joseph with grace and God blessed Joseph with strength and he overcame that. No, this was a result of true character. Day after day after day, he refused to lie with Potiphar's wife. Day after day after day, when Satan would send that tempter, when Satan would send those wicked devils of hell to get inside of his head and say, you know, here's your chance. You got another chance again. Here it comes. That's what the devil wants from us. He wants to wear us down. And if we're not strengthening ourselves, if we're not sowing to the Spirit and we're sowing to the flesh, we're weakening ourselves, and sooner or later we're going to topple over and we're going to give in to that temptation, because each and every single one of us in here is made out of wicked, sinful, rotten flesh.
Amen.
If we don't fortify ourselves in the Spirit of God, we'll weaken ourselves. But day by day by day,
Amen.
He was persistent in his character. Amen. So what do we see nextly then? We see persecution. We see the persecution in Joseph's life. What was the first thing we saw in the text tonight? Persecution. And Potiphar's wife, she tells all these lies on him and she tries to perpetrate this terrible lie, and she takes his garment, and the servants come home and she tells him, and she tells Potiphar, she says, "I cried out and he tried to go in unto me and he tried to mock us and he tried to take advantage of me, and I have his coat and I screamed and they heard me and they came and they tell all these lies to you." Let me tell you something, friend. Don't be surprised if the world will try to cut you down and tell lies on you and perpetrate false attacks on you if you're trying to live with God, if you're trying to live for God. I've seen it happen time and time again. That's exactly how the devil works. He is the father of those lies.
Amen.
We see Joseph's persecution. He's attacked. The devil maliciously takes that attack at Joseph's character. He's persecuted. In verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." But then we see the presence in Joseph's life. Any of you guys seeing a pattern here? Any of y'all seeing this come full circle? We've already seen the persecution. We've already seen the presence. But I like what it says in verse number 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph."
Amen.
You know that whole time God was right there with him? You know that whole time Joseph was faithful to be a man of integrity. He was faithful to be a man of character. He was faithful to withstand the fiery darts of the devil and the attacks of Satan. And God says, "Joseph, I'm still right here. Joseph, I'm still with you. Joseph, I'm still going to take care of you. Joseph, I'm still going to bless you." Amen. God ain't never going to leave you or forsake you. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Hey, it doesn't depend on you and I.
Amen.
Now you and I, we can backslide on God. And we can wear down our senses to where we don't feel the presence of God, and we can make ourselves miserable in our lives. But He has promised you, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you've been brought, if you've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you belong to Him, and He will not forsake you.
Amen.
He can't forsake you. It's right there in His Word. The presence in Joseph's life. We see that again, don't we? So we've seen the persecution again. We've seen the presence again. But again, what do we see? The peculiarity in Joseph's life. Look what the Bible says in verse number 21 right there. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Now I imagine, we talked about the disadvantage that Joseph already had of being a Hebrew in the midst of all these wicked pagan Ishmaelites and Egyptians and all these people. And I imagine the last place in the world where he would find favor would be the prison. He was probably the only Hebrew in that place. He was probably the only person who wasn't doing things the way they wanted them done in that prison. But God showed him mercy and they showed him favor in that place. Here again, the devil tries to attack him. What happens? God brings prosperity. God brings blessings because Joseph was consistent with that character in his life. And the Bible says, "And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper and in the prison." And last but not least, we've seen it come full circle now. We see prosperity yet again in Joseph's life. The Bible says this, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." In the midst of this captivity, in the midst of this heartache, in the midst of all this spiritual battle and attacks from the devil, God continuously blessed Joseph. God continuously saw him through. He continuously brought him through. He continuously used him for the glory of God because Joseph was faithful. Joseph didn't waver in his faithfulness towards God. And you go and you read a little bit further. Those men have those dreams in the prison, and Joseph interprets them, and he doesn't get the credit for it, and he stays locked up, and they get out. All that happens. Joseph says, "It's okay. I know God's going to take care of me. Hey, I've never known anything else other than God taking care of me." You might feel forsaken. You might feel down. You might feel out. You might feel like giving up. But let me tell you something, friend. God's there. God's looking for you to display some sort of character. God doesn't, our lives aren't troubled for God's amusement.
Amen.
Okay? They're troubled because there's a reason for that trouble. There's a reason for that trial. There's a reason for that heartache. And it's to forge us into that Christian that God wants us to be, that we might be solid for Him. Amen. That we might live lives of integrity, that we might live lives of character. Even in the midst of all this captivity, Joseph kept his character. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around but me. I wonder if there's any Christians in here this evening that wants to come to the altar and pray and say, God, help me. Help me to be that man of character. Help me to be that woman of character. Help me to be that Christian that You want me to be. God, help me to be consistent when the devil attack, when people tell lies on me, when it feels like, oh, hell has broke loose in my life. I want to stay a soldier of the faith. I want to stay faithful to You. I want to give my all for You. The odds might be stacked against you tonight. You might have some battles going on in your life that I know nothing about. Let me tell you something, friend. Stay faithful. Stay in the fight. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God and for the gospel and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not regret it. If you're in here this evening and you're not saved, you can be saved today. If you'll simply trust Jesus Christ by faith, if you'll admit you're a sinner and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, He can save you right now, right here tonight. You can leave here on your way to heaven. If that's you tonight and you're not saved, would you raise your hand? Say, pray for me. I wonder how many Christians raise their hands tonight and say, preacher, I want to have that character like Joseph did. I want to have that persistence like Joseph did. I want to live that pure life like Joseph did. And I want God to be pleased with my life. You might be in here tonight and you might say, preacher, I've messed up too bad for God to ever want to use me like that. You are wrong, and that's a lie from hell. If you believe that, you're wrong, and that's the devil trying to put that in your mind tonight. God can take anybody He wants and do anything He wants with Him. It's just a matter of our faithfulness and our yieldedness to the Spirit of God. God can use you tonight, Christian. Got to pray for one another.